I always say when I was around your age, I met probably the most influential person in my life, my Rebbe, whose name is Reb David Cohen. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron. When I met him, he wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva. And I refer to him as my Rebbe, not as my Rosh Yeshiva, because as long as he was my Rebbe, he wasn't Rosh Yeshiva. When he became Rosh Yeshiva, the night he became Rosh Yeshiva is the last night that I had the schus of learning with him, because then he was propelled into much more responsibilities and it wasn't any more feasible. But when I was around your age, I met him, and Baruch Hashem, he kept up a shaychus. After I learned in Eretz Yisrael, I was in America for a few years. I came back as young a man, and I had the schus of learning b'chavrusa with my Rebbe. My Rebbe's name is Reb David Cohen. If you speak in Eretz Yisrael about who are the manhigim of Klal Yisrael today, you ask the Israeli yeshiva bocher, who are the manhigim? So I tell you, any names that are like, who are the manhigim of Klal Yisrael? Anyone? Reb Aaron Leib, Reb Chaim, and Reb David. A lot of people, that's the way that they would respond. Reb Aaron Leib, Reb Chaim, and Reb David. In Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, Reb David is very much known. Hi Avi, welcome back. Reb David is very much known as the manig of the Olam HaTorah, as the leader, for sure he's considerably younger than Reb Aaron Leib and Reb Chaim, the Shel Avichas Yomim, but as for sure the future manig of Klal Yisrael. Anyway, so we had this chus of learning with Reb David, and the first day we sat down to learn together, so I had a very, very weak Hebrew vocabulary. And my Yiddish wasn't great, but it was good enough, it was passable, and I love speaking in Yiddish. So we had to figure out what to do. Reb David does not speak English. He speaks happy, is the one word I think that he said the last time by the... or something like that. He doesn't speak English. So what are we going to do? So we had to figure out what type of language was going to be able to bridge the barrier between us. So I suggested Yiddish. You know, Yiddish is anyway, you're learning Torah and Yiddish. It's, you know, yeshivish and everything. So Rav David said, no. David said, we have to speak in Hebrew. I said, I think I'm going to get by better in Yiddish. He told me, you're living in Eretz Yisrael. While you're in Eretz Yisrael, you have to learn the language. So while you're here, I want you to learn Hebrew. So even if it's going to be a little bit more difficult, so we learned in Hebrew. Even learning in Hebrew and filling in with the Yiddish, we still had our challenges. There were times we had to call his Rebbetzin in from the kitchen because she's American and she would like explain some of the things that I was trying to tell him. But Lemaisa, what I learned from there is that when you're in a place and you're here in Eretz Yisrael, it's kedai to learn Hebrew. It's kedai, and a lot of us, you know, we're here and you could get by with English everywhere. It's funny, sometimes when I was trying to practice my Hebrew, so I'd get into a taxi and I'd speak to the taxi in Hebrew and he would speak to me in English, and it was like really strange, but he wants to practice his English, I want to practice my Hebrew, so you know, it's like it was totally broken conversation. But I would suggest if you can, Lamashal, when you get into a taxi, try to speak to him in Hebrew. He won't rip you off any more than, won't rip you off any less, but he won't rip you off any more just because he's speaking in a broken Hebrew. So it's kedai, you go in to try a little bit to learn. So what we do is one shiur a week. We try to speak in Hebrew. I am very much would like to incorporate in my home to start speaking Yiddish at the Shabbos table. I heard from the Kamarner Rebbe, who told me I should speak Yiddish at the Shabbos table. And when I was in America by my Rosh Yeshiva, Meir Stern, he also told me that you should speak Yiddish at the Shabbos table. So, Beis Hashem, we're going to try to do as much of that as we can with the kids. We'll see how that works, but... but I'll kopon him. One day a week we try to say shir in Hebrew. So we're going to slowly incorporate more and more Hebrew into the Chumash shir. We'll start by saying a little Hebrew and a little English, but there are certain words that I think we all will understand. Okay? Mevinim, 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 mitzuyan. Okay, here goes, Rabbi Yisai. So we're learning Parashas Shoiftim. In Parashas Shoiftim, in the second Aliyah, Kisavoy, Slicha, Kisavoy la'aretz, Asher Hashem lokecha, Noisein, Loch, V'yirisht v'shaftaba, You come to the land. The Kalis are Omrim. What are they saying? Asim alay melech. Anachnu rotzim melech. We want a king. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Soim tosim alecha melech. You should place a king. Soim tosim alecha melech. You should have a king. Klal Yisrael needs to have a king. This pasuk is a mitzvah. It's brought down in the Sefer Achinuch, mitzvah Tov Tzadi Zayin, shenitztavenu, we are commanded, limnois aleinu melech mi Yisrael. Commanded to have a king. And the Chinuch and the Rambam also brings it down in Reish Hilchos Malachim and says there are three mitzvahs. Shalosh mitzvahs nitztavu Yisrael b'knisosam la'aretz. Three mitzvahs that when we come into Eretz Yisrael we're supposed to do. They are limnois lahem melech, lahachris zaroi shel amolek, which is lahashmid, to eradicate and to destroy the children of Amolek, v'livnois lahem beis habechira, livnot et beit hamikdash v'mehera v'yameinu amen. These are the three mitzvahs. So we're going to focus today on the mitzvah in this week's parasha, is the mitzvah of putting on a king. The Chinuch writes, the shoyrish of the mitzvah, what's the toeles of the mitzvah, writes the Chinuch, ha-toeles ha-nimtze la'am b'yois aleim ish echod l'roi shulokotzin. There should be one person on top. There's one person who's in charge. Ki lo yiskayim yishuv ha'am b'shalom biltizeh. It's impossible if you don't have one person in charge, the chief commanding officer. That's the way an environment works. That's the way a system works. That's the way a society can function. If you don't have one person on top, so then it's too confusing. Therefore, it's kedai, there should be a figurehead. That figurehead is the king. Therefore, that's the shoyresh, says the Chinuch, of the mitzvah. The Drosh HaSaran, Bidrush Echaroser, the 11th Drush, Masbir Ktzat Acheret, V'omer Kacha. Says a little differently, it says like this. We know that we are governed by the laws of the Torah. The laws of the Torah is the Tayag Mitzvahs, is the way that, and the Torah tells us how what's supposed to happen if a person, for example, someone does damages. So the Pasuk tells us, Maka Nefesh Behemi Yishalmena, or Maka Adam, Ayin Tachas Ayin. There's lots of laws of the Torah. A person steals, what's the din? He steals, anyone? Or does he have to pay? Kefel. There's rules, there's punishment, there's all this, Knossos, Vakol, everything. However, says the Ran, there are times that people can kind of like, they could get around the law. You have legal loopholes. You know, they know how to, which the Ramban writes about, a concept called novel birshus hatoira. There's a person that he knows how to like, he's an operator. He can make his way around everything, and he's not a good person, and he's a threat to society. So for that reason, says the Ran, we need a king to make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. The Torah gave us the rules. And bivadai, says the Ran, that those are the laws that we governed by. But there are times that people can kind of like abuse the law, the letter of the law. The king is there to make sure that everything is running smooth. Kacha katuv bila. The Ran manshich, he continues and he says, many Meforshim ask the following question. Is it proper to make a king? Should Klal Yisrael have a king? What's the answer? What would you say? Yes. Not only is it proper, it's a mitzvah. Ha-sheila hi, b'tkufa shel Shmuel, Klal Yisrael b'kshu melech, in the times of Shmuel HaNavi, Klal Yisrael asked for a king. V'Shmuel Masar Lehem Musa. Shmuel said to them, this is bad. What are you doing over here? This is wrong. What are you asking for a king for? You want a king? What do you want a king for? The Kol HaMeforshim, all the commentaries are bothered. They ask, what do you mean? The Torah tells us that not only is it okay, it's a mitzvah. As ma baya shel Shmuel that he was critical of Klal Yisrael. As Omer Aran Pshadu Kacha. Shmuel Hivin, he understood. Klal Yisrael Ratzu Melech, because why did Klal Yisrael want a king? Not because they wanted to enforce the laws of the Torah. Klal Yisrael wanted a king because they wanted a different set of rules. They wanted to be just like all other countries, all other kingdoms. The king lays down the rule of the law of the land. Well, we want a king to tell us what to do. We're not interested in following archaic laws of the Torah. We want to make new laws. Zebaya Ritzini. That's a big problem. That's a serious problem. The purpose of the king is to enforce the laws of the Torah, not to make new rules, not for us to have a modern, more modern type of culture. Therefore, they were criticized for their request. Now, there are certain restrictions to a melech. What does the pasuk says? You're going to put a king, rak. This is the pasuk. Lo yarbe loy susim, v'lo yoshuv esa'om mitzrayim olaman harboy sus. First thing is he's not allowed to have too many horses. V'lo yarbe loy noshim, he should not have too many wives. V'lo yoshuv levavo v'kesef v'zav lo yarbe loy me'oid. Shouldn't have too much kesef and zav. Too much gold and zav. Silver and gold. And so that's what the king is not allowed to do. He's not allowed to have too many horses, not allowed to have too many wives, not allowed to have too much gold and silver, or silver and gold, and there's something that he has to do different than everyone else. Says the pasuk, "V'yikishivta al-kisem amlachto v'chosev lo es mishna ha-toyrah azois." He has to have a special sefer Torah written just for him. The Torah has to be with him, and he has to read from the Torah his entire life. Okay. And he would say, Kodem Kol. I would like first to try to examine this idea of Kesef Vizov. Silver and gold. He's not allowed to have too much silver and gold. Maze Kesef Vizov. What's the difference between silver and gold? I want to tell with you, I want to share you something that I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro Zolazayin Gezunt. Rav Moshe Shapiro is the Mashkiach's Rebbe, and I heard shir from him for many, many years. And he said the following idea. Listen to this brilliant insight. Yesh chiluk ben kesef lezov. Totally different thing. Gold is beautiful. Everyone knows gold is beautiful. It's the most beautiful metal that we have. Kesef is a currency. We speak about money. What's money called? Kesef. It's money. A currency is something that you use to acquire something else. Classically, kesef's use is as a currency. Gold is the thing that people want to acquire. That's what people want to buy. Gold. You want it to be solid gold. What's kesef? Kesef is money. What can you do with money? The answer is everything. The answer is nothing. What can you do with money? Nothing. You can't do anything with money. Money in and of itself is what? Is nothing. What can I do with money? You can't do anything with it. But it allows me the ability to do other things. Money is options. That's all money is. So, if I would like to define the difference between kesef and zav, I'm going to tell you as follows. Zav is taiva. Kesef is kavod. There's someone who's worth $50 billion. He's got $50 billion in the bank. We all have a lot of respect for him. Now, what does that $50 billion do for him if it's in the bank? Nothing. I once met to a man who was a very wealthy man. He said to me, I am a millionaire. He said, but all my money is tied up in real estate. I don't have any money. I have no money. I'm a millionaire, he told me. But I don't have money because the market's low. I can't sell anything. I can't access anything. So all money does is, but he's a millionaire. Now everyone has respect for him. Money is respect. gold is beauty. Beauty is taiva. Zahav is taiva. Kesef is kavod, is respect. These are the two different things. I would like to discuss that. What we're telling the melech here is as follows: Kesef izav lo yarbe lo ma'oid is too much taiva and too much kavod is not good for you. The king, if he's too indulgent, it's bad. And if he gets too much to his head, he's too much into his respect, zegam lo tof. That's what the pasuk is telling us. Kesef izav lo yarbe lo ma'oid. Eifo zeh yotze lapoel. How is that expressed? What is the examples of that? The Torah gives you two examples. He can't have too many wives, and he can't have too many horses. Now, what is the prohibition, the iser of too many wives? Why can't a person have too many wives? That's taiva. That's indulgence. Why can't a person have too many horses? What is he having horses for? For his covet, for his army, for his entourage, right? That's covet. And the pasuk is saying, too much of that and too much of that is not good. And a king has to have an extra sefer Torah. So listen to this. The word for a king, the word in Hebrew, we're trying to learn some Hebrew, is melech. Melech is spelt mem, lamed, then chof. Mem, lamed, chof. Mem stands for moach, lamed stands for lev, and chof stands for kaved. Moach is the mind, lev is the heart, and kaved is the liver. Now, that word is a very important word. Bilam HaRosha, when he wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, so the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Hashem has 1 second that he's angry. Kel, he's zoyim b'chol yom, because Brachos is angry for 1 second. So Frek Toises, what could Bilam say in a second already? Toises says, Bilam can say the word kalem. Kalem means destroy them. That's what he wanted to say. Kalem, it's all it takes. And Hashem, in his infinite mercy, he changed around the letters. Instead of saying Kalem, he said Melech. Uchuas Melech boy was the thing that Bilam said. Melech. What's Kalem? Melech? Change the orders? What is this? The answer is as follows. Ani choshev. The answer is as follows. A person wants to be a king. If you want to be a king, your moach has to control your lev and your kaved. Your mind, your intellect, what you know you're supposed to be doing is it's supposed to be in control of your heart and of your kaved, of your liver. Let's see what those are. If a person's mind is making his decisions, he's a king because he's in control. But if a person's decisions are made by his kaved, made by his lev, and his moyach just follows suit, he's kalem, he will be destroyed. He will destroy himself. That's the difference. To be a melech, you have to have a moach controlling your lev and your kaved. Now let me explain to you what I think lev and kaved is. Lev, ani choshev kulanu mevinim. What is lev? Lev is, the heart is the seat of passion. That's where a person, all of his taivas, a person, your heart is what's telling you that you have taivas, there are things that you want. And a person's lev, we're saying a person shouldn't follow his lev, we're saying too many wives is going to cause your heart to stray. Can't have that. Can't have too many horses. Why not? Because it's not good for the kaved. Let me tell you a little bit about the liver. There's an interesting thing that's scientifically been proven that when a person gets angry, it affects his liver. Scientifically been proven. As a matter of fact, back in the day when people would get angry a lot, they would say he has an angry liver. The the emotion of anger affects a person's liver. Why is that? Because when does a person get angry? When he feels that he is not getting the proper respect. He's not, his rights are being violated. I deserve better than this. It's not what I deserve. And a person feels like he's not being respected. His rights are not respected. Someone is not giving him the proper kavod. How do you say liver in Hebrew? Kavod. Kavod is the seat of a person's desire for respect, for kavod. I want to be respected. And a king has two very serious challenges. Nisyonot. Two serious. Nisayon achad is too much taivas. The king. Too much, too many women. Too many wives. That's not good for you. Another nisayon is too many horses. Too much power. The desire for too much respect. Instead, the Torah says you have to have a Torah written special for you. You have to take it with you everywhere that you go. Because if you want to be a king, you have to remember your moach, your mind, your intellect. The Torah has to dominate and control and reign over your lev and your kavod. That perhaps is an understanding of what the pasuk is telling us over here. And it says about this Sefer Torah, V'hoysa imoy. The Sefer Torah should be with him. V'kara boy kol yimei chayov. It should read the Torah all the days of his life. Here I have a Sefer called Mekach Toiv. He brings from the Rishon Rebbe. And he says, it's an interesting thing. If you look at the diktuk, there seems to be a flaw in the diktuk. It seems to be a mistake. The pasuk says, V'hoysa imoy. Hoysa is lashon nekeva. V'hoysa, with the hey at the end, is it was with him. V'kara boy, kol yimei chayev, and he will read it, is now lashon zachar. So this Sefer Torah that we're referring to is lashon zachar or lashon nekeva. Which one is it? Says the Rishon Rabbi as follows. He says that in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, there are how many different sections? How many chumashim are there? Five. Chamisha chumshei Torah. In the Shulchan Aruch, when Chazal kind of broke it down, how many chalokim were there? In the Shulchan Aruch, does anyone know? Four. Arba Chalke Shulchan Aruch. Why four Chalakim of Shulchan Aruch if there are five Chalakim of the Torah? As Omer Rishon Rebbe, Apshat Hu Kacha. Because really, there's a fifth Chalek from Shulchan Aruch. I don't know if you ever heard that saying. Sometimes they say about someone, he's missing the fifth Chalek of Shulchan Aruch. This is the Makar. Here it is. There's a fifth Chalek of Shulchan Aruch. It's there. It just wasn't written. That's the Shulchan Aruch that you've got to figure out on your own. That's the chelek that's not written, but it exists. So therefore, the melech, the king's job is, he's supposed to look in the Torah, but he's supposed to read something that's not necessarily there. He's supposed to read, even though there's only four chelke Shulchan Aruch, but he's really supposed to read from the fifth one. So therefore the Torah tells us this. Now, this very much stems with what we were saying from the Ran. That the Ran said that the whole point of the Melech is because there are certain things that are not, that technically a person can kind of like avoid. There's loopholes, or there's ways of playing the system. The king's job is to make sure that not just because, not everything bidyuk, makotuv, echkotuv, where does it say it, show me. There's a fifth achelek HaShulchan Aruch that we all have to be aware of. That's the king's job. The Maisa, the chiyuv on the king, will end with this. The chiyuv on the king to have a Sefer Torah, not only one Sefer Torah. The pasuf katuf because of lo es mishna hatoyra hazois. Mishna is miloshin shnayim. Kama sifrei toyra is tzurech liot lemelech? Two. He has to have two sifrei toyra. Echad shiye ito kol hazman. One should be with him the whole time. Efa shu olech. Vasheni shiyishayir babayit. Should be at home. Why does he have two sifrei toyras? So perhaps the pshat is as follows. Sefer Torah Chad ze b'shvil ha-tzibur. That's for his public life. The Melech is going to be a very public figure. People are going to see him. A lot of people are going to observe the way that the king behaves. That's one he takes with him wherever he goes. That's the Sefer Torah b'shvil liot manhig, to be a leader. Ish od Sefer Torah shiyishaer b'bayit, that stays in his home. That Sefer Torah is for him. For him as a person, has to have his own Sefer Torah. It's not just, I have to put on a show as a leader of how I'm supposed to like behave in public and then get home and then do whatever I want in the privacy of my own home. Rather, a person, the king, has to have also a conscious and an awareness that he is expected as an individual also to act based on the Torah itself. I'll end with one quick story that I heard once about a hockey player. There was a hockey player that was a very famous, aggressive and violent sportsman. I think that most hockey players are aggressive and violent, but he was like famous for being a particularly bad sportsmanlike conduct. He would hit people with his stick in the back of their legs, and he was getting into fights all the time. Anyway, he was very, very famous. He was very good, and he was. renowned for his abilities. Well, he was getting on to the point where his son was joining the junior hockey league. So he was interviewed as he is coronating his son to become another dor of hockey players, Baruch Hashem. And they asked him the following question. When your son goes out to play, what are you going to tell him? You are the dirtiest hockey player around. So what type of advice are you going to give your son? So he responded and he said, I'm going to tell my son, do as I say, don't do as I do. This is the way I play. That's not for you. Do as I say, don't do as I do. That was his sage advice to his son. And I can guarantee you that this young hockey player was quite an aggressive and difficult person to have on the ice. Because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. A person wants to be a role model. A person wants to give over a vision of how a person is supposed to behave. He has to hold himself to the same standard. Therefore, the melech has to have his own personal sefer Torah. And he has to hold himself to that standard as an individual, not only as a manik. That's the way Klal Yisrael always chose their leaders. They're people that led by example. Okay, Rabbi, say good job.
What does the seventh have over Sus and Russia?
What do you mean?